Mark 16:15, this is Mission Sunday. The title of the message today is called As You Are Going, As You Are Going. Mark 16:15. And this says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the scriptures that give us life, that is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to separate the division of bone and marrow, soul and spirit, and to judge the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Your word is living and it's active, God, and it's working our lives. It's giving us strength, God, so we don't panic, Lord, that we become the people of faith, Lord, that you've given us a spirit, God, to draw near to you, but also to walk in your confidence, God. And so we thank you for that. Lord, I ask right now to speak to us through your word. To that end, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us, individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. God, we thank you. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Like I shared earlier, the world is going crazy right now. I mean, just all these different things that are going on. It is just crazy. People fighting, fist fighting over toilet paper. It's just insane all that's going on. And then in the midst of it, you think about this. And I wonder, are we sick and tired of what's going on in the world around us? Are we tired of all the junk happening? We're appalled by what man can do to other men in this way. I remember years ago when my wife and I, we watched this Leonardo DiCaprio movie called Blood Diamond. Many of us have seen this. And it was just appalling what people would do for one another for this piece of rock, you know? It's basically rock. We spend millions of dollars on this rock. And you know, praise the Lord, my wife and we came to the decision that we're not going to buy any diamonds, you know, praise God. Because of Blood Diamond, right? This is crazy. It's so sickening to think about the craziness and the murder and the theft and the toil of humanity over a rock. I mean, it's nuts. It's dangerous. If I say this, Netflix is dangerous. These last few weeks, I've been watching a bunch of documentaries, and you may have seen it on online. But there's one documentary called Rotten, and it talks. It's the story of food. And it talks about avocados, and then it talks about chocolate, and then it talks about bottled water, and these things that we take for granted, but behind the scenes, people are killing one another because of avocados. Like, I can't even look at an avocado the same way ever again. And then chocolate, oh my goodness, chocolate! The way that people are dehumanized because of chocolate. That the producers of cocoa in Africa are still living in poverty, and it's the middlemen and they're making so much money, and it's a travesty of what's going on in the world around us. And then I also saw another documentary called Dirty Money. Have you seen this one? It talks about HSBC. Anyone work for HSBC? Shame, money laundering for the cartels. It's crazy, all this stuff that's going on, and the thing on Volkswagen, how they deliberately, you know, Volkswagen, Porsche, Audi, deliberately deceive people, you know, with the whole, engine thing that was happening, and Valiant, the drug company, and all these things, the brutality that people will go through to rip one another off purely because of money. It's crazy when the scripture tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. And I remember reading that, what? It can't be the root of all evil. I mean, evil is so the love of money. And yet you see that's one of the main things that happen around us. I mean, this world is going to the pits. And I hear this from a lot of people, and people say, oh, if I, you know, even when we talk about children, oh, I don't want to bring children into this world. This world is going to hell, and it's so bad, and all these things. But yet, if you look in the scriptures, every time the world got so bad, you know what God did? He brought a baby into the world. With that said, yesterday, Rachel and Matt Chung gave birth to a little baby boy named Moses. And so they're all doing really well. And so can I say something really crazy right now? I mean, you have no choice anyway, but, you know, I was praying for Moses, and that thought, because I knew I was going to preach this message, and that thought came to me, and I was just thinking, what a time to come into the world, especially here in Hong Kong, in the midst of the protests, in the midst of coronavirus. And you know, this thought came into my heart, and I said, God has something special for Moses. There is something, Moses is going to do something. Just like Moses delivered Israelites out of Egypt, I think Moses is going to do something amazing here in Hong Kong. And so, since yesterday, I've just been praying. I said, God, give Moses incredible intellectual capacity. Let him be a scientist or a doctor or, you know, and Matt and Rachel, you don't have to do anything. I'm just, you know, but I'm going to pray this. And let him bring cures to diseases. Let him figure out vaccines and create new antibiotics and all these things. And it was just this thought that came to me. You know, why would this little boy come into the world at such a time as this? And following the biblical pattern, when the world is so bad, God always brings babies into the world. And so here's this baby that comes in. I told you, it was a crazy thought. But I'm going to pray, and I'm going to keep praying, and we'll see what happens down the road. It's just craziness these days. And so what is the answer for all this? Well, you've heard me say this to you many times, so you should know this by now. In church, no matter what the question is, the answer is Jesus, right? So what's the answer? It's Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Or another way of saying it, even better, is the answer must come back. We need to bring the answer back into the world. Because the cure is not a new antibody. It's not a new medicine. The cure is Jesus coming back and rescuing us. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. Mark 13:10. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. We think about what is it going to take to bring Jesus back? How will earth be redeemed? How will humanity be redeemed? The new heavens and the new earth, how is that going to happen? It's through us. We go out into the world and preach the gospel. And then the end will come. The word nations in Matthew is the word ethnos, or from the word ethne. And it's talking about people groups. It's a multitude of individuals of the same nature or the same genus or the same family group. Like if you've ever taken a DNA test, I'm mostly Korean. That's an ethne. And I'm also part Japanese, and that's another ethne. And then I'm like 0.2 of something else, 0.02 is, you know, some kind of Chinese, Mongolian kind of descent. But those are all ethnic groups. It's ethne. And so if you look at things around the world, particularly this organization called the Joshua Project, they've actually categorized people through these different ethnes. And so right now there are 15,874 different people groups in the world. That's a population. This is a little older, but 6.51. I think we're close to 7 billion now. This was probably about 10 years ago, this study. The Now, the unreached or the least reached people groups, they comprise 40% of this number are considered unreached or least reached. And that is basically 39.7% of the people on the earth. And so, I mean, the gospel must be preached to every ethne, every people groups, and then the end will come. We got a long way to go. But for the first time in our history, we know where they are. And there are works happening right now to translate the Bible in their languages. Through all different organizations are really coming together. We've identified every single ethnic group. There are projects at work in the gospel in the form of the Bible. There's churches being planted. There's a Jesus film or radio or all kinds of things. I mean, this is a really, really exciting time right now that we live in. Actually, the first time in history that we can actually see the end goal. There's light at the end of this dark tunnel. And we can see it there. And if the churches, you know, organizations band together, we can see this happening. Matthew 28, that you may be familiar with, 18 to 20. It says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." The task is before us. We must join God in his work. See, God is looking for partnership. Brothers and sisters, every person that you invite to Alpha, that you invite to church, every person that you share your testimony with, share with them the hope that lives within you, that you witness to, that you do good deeds toward, every single one of those acts, every single one of those things that you do ushers in the second coming of Jesus Christ even closer. Everything that you do leads people one step closer to life, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that you do comes into this way. And the reality is, you don't have to go anywhere. The verb here in Mark and also particularly in Matthew, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples." You've heard this many times. The verb is not go. The verb is make disciples. The word go actually is written in what we in Greek was present tense imperative. And so actually a better translation of that, he's basically saying, as you are going, make disciples of all nations. As you are going to work, make disciples of all nations. As you're going to the market, make disciples of all nations. As you're going to play softball, make disciples of all nations. No matter what we're doing, it says, it's meant to be a present tense, as we are going, make disciples. See, a lot of times we make missions about, I need to move from point A to point B, and I know you have your missions brochure, and we are going to the nations. That's the biblical directive, go to all the nations, so we're following that along. But really, the heart of missions is not necessarily you going from one country to another country or one people group to the other people group. It's actually, he's telling us that missions happens every single day. It's present tense. We're going about doing, living life. And because we're so grateful for what God has done for us, we just share that with other people. We just share the life that we have with God. It just comes out of us. It comes out in our good deeds. It comes out in our sharing. It comes out in our sharing of our testimonies. It comes out in our sincerity. It comes out in our generosity. It just comes out of us all the time. We are the gospel in that sense. Now, you've heard me do this many times, but I know there's a lot of new people here, so we can follow along. How many full-time ministers are in this room? I'm a full-time minister. Oh, see, most of you guys know this one, right? See, we are all full-time ministers. Every single one of you. You're a Christian. You're a follower of God. You are a full-time minister. I am a vocational full-time minister. And see, because let me tell you what God does. God is so smart. I mean, he's so smart. So this is what he does. God loves bankers. I know sometimes they're very unlovable, but God loves bankers. So you know what God does? God takes a full-time minister and he disguises that person as a banker. Gives him some brains, gives him an education, a nice suit, you know, a briefcase, and he sends him into the world to reach, no more briefcase, yeah, backpack, sorry. old school. Backpack, and I know not that now the uniform, the nice Patagonia vest, okay? That's basically what they wear now. And he sends them off into the banking world to reach bankers. God loves engineers. So you know what he does? He takes a full-time minister, disguises them as an engineer, gives them brains, gives them backpack, I guess, you know, gives them a pocket protector and, you know, all those things. And he shoots them out into the world to reach engineers. I mean, God loves doctors. I mean, you could just put any profession. God loves business people. So you know what he does? He takes a full-time minister and disguises them as a business person and gives them brains and gives them resources and education. And he gives them all these things to go out into the world and reach business people for Christ. As you are going, make disciples of all nations. This is what he does. He wants to reach lawyers, so he takes a full-time minister, disguises them as lawyers, and then shoots them out into the law world. He takes all sorts of different people, accountants. He takes teachers and students, and I mean, you name it, and God does it. He takes full-time ministers, every single one of us in this room, and then he disguises us in whatever profession that you're in to shoot you out into those professions. So you can make a difference and save the lost. Go into all creation, into all the world, and preach the gospel. It's so important for us to understand that this is our directive. This is our mission. I heard Pastor Cheon say this many years ago. And he said, you know, for the rest of eternity, we're going to worship forever. For the rest of eternity, we're going to fellowship forever. For the rest of eternity, we're going to grow in knowledge forever. But we only have one lifetime to win the lost. And man, it's true. That's why we're here on this planet, as we are going. So now I want to do a little pivot, okay? Because that was my mission message. I want to give you another message real quick. It falls in line, but I really felt like, because our theme this year is the God of order, I've been asking myself this question: well, what is the gospel? What is it that we're supposed to be sharing with people? What does this all have to do? The gospel, just purely, this is going to be like the simplest, like elementary. Well, most of my messages are simple, elementary, but this is going to be even more so. Okay. And the gospel is the proclamation of good news. That's what it is. And we all like good news. I mean, anyone here doesn't like good news? We all love. And this is something that we should love. So I found this acronym for gospel. I thought it was really good. It's shared by a ministry called Dare to Share Ministries. And it's G-O-S-P-E-L. And this is a simple way for you to actually share the gospel, but also for you to understand what the gospel is, just using this simple acronym. So, ready? G, God. God created us to be with him. Psalm 103, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God created us to be in a loving relationship with him. But something happened. Oh, our sin separated us from God. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our sins have separated us from him. G-O-S. Sins. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Isaiah 64, verse 6. For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. You can't earn your salvation. You can't do anything to be saved. It is a total gift. P, G-O-S-P, paying the price for sin Jesus died and rose again. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We can't earn it. We can't do anything. There's no good deeds by which we can be saved. And so Jesus pays the price for our sin by hanging on the cross. Him who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we may attain the righteousness of God through him. 2 Corinthians 5. E, everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the last one, L, life. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. John 10:28. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. What is the gospel? How can you share the gospel? Let people know God created us to be with him. He is the creator. Our sins, unfortunately, separated us from God. Our sins, these things cannot be removed by our good deeds nor our good intentions. And so Jesus pays the price for our sin. He died and he rose again and conquered sin. And so that everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. And that life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. That is how you share the gospel with somebody. That's how we go about doing this. So, let me wrap this up. Romans 1:16. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I've always been fascinated by this verse, and especially if you understand the context. See, for a long time, I consider the gospel to be an event, in so to speak. It's something that we share with others. But you know, Paul is writing to the church in Rome. Paul is writing to Christians and telling Christians that they need the gospel. That's the theme of Romans. And so Paul lays out this statement, it is the power of God for the believer. And so it's not just about salvation, that's the beginning part of it, but we need the gospel in everything that we do. And so the rest of Romans, he basically talks about different aspects of our life, how we treat one another, how we deal with people, how we deal with finances, all these different things. And he inserts the gospel for Christians and how that is the power of God for us to live the kind of life that God wants us to live. It's so important. It's the power. It's not just a message for non-believers. It's a message first and foremost to the church. It is the power of God. So I've been asking myself, so what is the good news to the church? You know what I've come to realize in my own life, but also in the life of our tribe, our community? I come to realize that if you really, really break it down, a lot of us, we're not operating by the gospel. We're operating out of our good works. We become legalists, unfortunately. We're trying to earn our salvation by praying longer and harder, by fasting, by giving, by serving, etc., 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 along a line. Our good works, they must flow out of our gratitude for what Jesus has done, not in order for us to earn anything. In a few weeks, I'm going to talk about some doctrine, particularly something called merit theology. And so we'll get into that. So I don't want to talk about it now because I'll go full on in a few weeks talking about this. But this is important. And so let me kind of share my story with you a little bit, kind of to wrap up. And it's I think my salvation experience is a really good marker to explain this. I got saved on April 19th, 1992. That's when I met Jesus. Some of you guys know I was in Mexico the week before at during our spring break, and I was playing basketball with our school. I went to a Christian university, and I was playing basketball with our team, and we're doing outreach and things. But I wasn't born again. I wasn't a Christian, and you know those guys knew that. And so, but I came home, and the best way I can explain it is after I came home, they dropped me off. We were living in Laguna Niguel, California at the time. And I came home, and I was lying on my bed, and no one else was around. I was upstairs in my room, and I was thinking about everything that happened during that week. And the best way I can explain it to you now is Jesus came into my room. I just felt the presence of God. And it was the first time in my life that I recognized that I was a sinner. All the other times, my friends had invited me to church. I'd gone to church for years, actually, at that point. But I had never really given my life to the Lord because, if I'm going to be really honest, I really didn't think I needed him. I was a pretty good guy. I mean, I listened to my parents. I was very responsible. Some of you guys know my testimony. You know, I'm 52 years old. I've never been drunk in my life. I've never been high. I took two puffs of hash when I was in high school, and I just put it away. I took two puffs of a cigarette years ago, and probably when I was in junior high, and I thought this is gross, and I never touched it ever again. And so I was considering myself a pretty good person, but in that room, April 19, 1992, all of a sudden, I had this deep, deep awareness of my sins, that I was a filthy sinner, that my sins put Jesus Christ on the cross. And I tell you, I wept like a baby. I was so, so sorry. I was so sorry. And then, it was crazy. And then after that, I mean, I'm just sorrow and just bawling and before God. Oh, I'm so sorry, God. My sins, all these things that I've done, I put Jesus on the cross and so on and so forth. And then after about an hour or so, I started bawling again. I kind of subside. I started bawling again, but purely because of gratitude. Like, even though I'm a filthy sinner, Jesus, you gave your life for me. And I was just so filled with gratitude and joy. I mean, I was overwhelmed. And now I just was crying because of gratitude, of just realizing what Jesus Christ had done for me. He demonstrated his great love toward us. And even while we're yet sinners, Christ died for me. And that elation was just flowing in my heart. And then that kind of just died down after a bit. And then I had this insatiable hunger to worship God. And in my room, I didn't have any Christian thing. And so all I had one, if you guys remember back in the days, I had one cassette tape that my friend, who was witnessing to me for years, is one of my volleyball guys, and he had given me this tape of worship music. And so I went back, I got into my car, I opened up the moonroof, the sunroof of my black 4Runner, and I put the cassette tape in, and I just started worshiping God. I just had this insatiable desire to worship. You know I can't sing. It didn't matter. I just wanted to worship God. And so I was in there and I was just worshiping at the top of my lungs and didn't really know the lyrics, but I recognized a few from church, and I was just worshiping God. And then while in the midst of that, in my car, I'm bawling again. And I'm crying and I'm this basically tears of joy that God saved me, but also he saved me in the nick of time. Because now for the rest of my life, I can serve him. And there was this like insatiable joy of this understanding that my whole, from this day forward, God, my whole life, not that I have to serve you, not that I have to do anything, but that I get to. Oh my goodness, I get to serve you. Oh my goodness, I get to give to you. Oh my goodness, I get to come to church. I don't have to do any of these things. I get to do these things. And I realized in those couple hours was really the nuggets of the gospel, of this good news. Brothers and sisters, it first always starts with repentance. It starts with repentance. It starts by saying, Lord, I have sinned. I take responsibility for this. I'm not going to pawn it off, you know, because my mom didn't breastfeed me enough, and you know, and this thing happened, and you know, mom, you know, parents gave my love to older brother, not me, and so I can't pawn it off on anyone else. I say I own my own actions, Lord. I'm guilty. I'm sorry. And then the revelation that even while we're yet sinners, even when we're in this despicable state, Jesus Christ came and died for us. He saw us in our misery, and he says, I love you anyway. I know everything that you're going to do. I said this last week. I know everything that you're going to do from this day forward, and I love you anyway. That's the good news. And then what we have as a church is now we just have a holy response to God's love. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to give. You don't have to serve. You don't have to read the Bible. You don't have to pray. You don't have to do anything. I told you, God will love you just as much today. You know, and tomorrow you do nothing. He'll still love you to the maximum because that's who God is. But see, the privilege and the joy of this now for the rest of our days is we get to serve him. We get to love him. We get to give and be generous. We get to read the Bible. We get to pray. We get to grow in intimacy. We get to do all these things. And I've come to the realization that myself and a lot of us, that we haven't realized that we get to. And we've been operating in the realm of we have to. And that's not the gospel. That's not the power of God. Do you know why we get so frustrated as Christians? Is because we're living in that realm. Because we can never be good enough. You can never read enough pages or chapters in the Bible every day. There's no hours in the day where you can pray enough. You know what I mean? It doesn't work that way. And so there's going to be a shift. We need to have the gospel. Christians, we need to have the gospel in our lives that says, Lord, there's nothing that I can do to make this right. Lord Jesus, you did everything. And so it's not about me. I'm going to appropriate what you've done for me. And now I stand in the righteousness of God. Instead of our works, instead of our deeds and all these things, trying to make us lovable or trying to make us into people that God can approve of in these things. It doesn't work that way. You know, something that I have such a deep fondness for Jewish people and for Judaism. I mean, I'll be honest in that way. And especially Old Testament, you know, God blessed the Israelites. God blessed them by giving them the law. Later on, it becomes a curse to them because they lose the heart of what God is trying to do. God separated them. God picked that people group out of every people group on the earth, and the blessing, he gave them the law. And they recognized, and so they follow the law. They follow the law because God chose them. And so this is what makes us different, and so they responded to the Lord's love. It's so different than I have to follow the law in order for God to love me. The Jews, the early Jews said, because God loves me, I get to follow the law. It's a totally different thing. It's a totally different way of looking at life. The one, the law, these things become a bondage. To those who have the gospel in our hearts, it becomes freedom. I have the freedom to follow the law. I have the freedom to serve God. I have the freedom to love God. I have the freedom to pray. I have the freedom to give. I have the freedom to fellowship with brothers and sisters. And so as I was praying over this, I wonder how many of us are sitting in this room today so filled with condemnation, so filled with anxiety, wondering, schizophrenic in some ways, wondering if God loves you. And you're wondering because you know you haven't prayed enough. You know you haven't given enough. You know you haven't read enough of the Bible. You haven't served enough. And the enemy has been condemning you all this time. And God says, you know what you need? You need the gospel. You didn't know that you don't have to do anything. That Jesus Christ paid the price for you. This is the good news. That he paid the price that you should have paid. And so you don't have to die over and over again. You don't have to be crucified on the cross. You just have to just acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your weakness. Accept him into our life and then respond to God's love. We need the gospel. It is the power of God in our lives. Amen? So let's close our eyes. Invite the worship team to come. I wanted to add the second part of the message because before you can share the gospel, you have to have the gospel inside of you. Not just to be saved. I know you're Christians. I know you're saved. But you have to have the gospel working. It's the power of God. It's the power over sin. It's the power over condemnation. Paul writes in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He was able to say that because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And I just got a sense as I've been praying this week that a lot of us just feel like I'm not cutting it. I'm not much. I'm not doing enough. And you're feeling condemned and overwhelmed. And God wants you to have his gospel. He wants you to know that he loves you no matter what. You don't have to do anything. In fact, remember, our righteousness are like filthy rags. But we get to respond to his love. That's a total different way of serving and loving and giving and all these things when we come from a place of love. Instead of we're doing it to seek that love. I do, I give, I serve, not to earn God's love. I do, I give, I serve because of God's love. I'm a free citizen to love him with all my heart. I feel like today God wants to bless Solomon's Porch with the gospel. Yes, it starts with repentance. But that's just a small part of so much that God has in store. And I feel so sad for us that the enemy has just been rocking us, condemning us, crucifying us, because we haven't fully grasped the implications of the gospel. I feel like God today wants to restore the joy of our salvation. You're not condemned. You are loved. You're not cursed. You are blessed. You're not a loser. You're a winner. You're not an orphan. You're God's precious son and daughter. And if you're struggling with this, as a worship team sings a song over us, I want to encourage you to go before the Lord. He's going to speak to you today. He's going to minister to you. He's going to evict those thoughts that the enemy has put in your mind. And you're going to have the power of God, the gospel, living inside of you, not just for salvation, but to live the life before God. Go ahead, Jones, lead us.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. My fears and failures, fill my life again. Give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Let's pray together. If you're here today, I want to minister to you. And you're here, and this message resonates with you. Maybe you've been operating in some type of legalism. And there's been a lot of condemnation. And you know, it's like, and you just don't feel like you're enough. I think God wants to do something in your life very special today. And so can I just ask you, wherever you're at, I just want you to stand right now. Just before the Lord. Just say, that's me. I want to receive something from the Lord today. There's been a lot of condemnation. I just want you to close your eyes. I just want you to open your hands before the Lord and just receive from Him right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Would you rewire their thinking right now? And if you're around some of these people, I want you to just go and I just want you to lay hands on them. Let's encourage what the Spirit is doing around them right now. Let's pray for our friends. Let's pray that God would rewire their thinking. Let's pray that they would receive the gospel deep inside. That they would move out of self-sufficiency, self-salvation, and just really rely and trust in what God has already done for them. Well, let's lift up our... Let's pray. Let's pray for our friends right now. Let's continue to minister. The rest of us, let's stand to our feet. Let's sing this as an anthem before the Lord.
Everyone needs compassion.
Everyone needs compassion. Love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. The whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King Jesus. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Let's pray together. Lord, we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Lord, we recognize we need more of this power in our lives, Lord. Lord, we've been doing a lot of self-salvation, trying to work and earn your love. Lord, that's impossible. Help us, God, fix our minds, Lord, to really just appropriate what God has already done for us in Jesus Christ. Teach us, God, that the pathway is repentance. Give us the joy of our salvation. Let this gospel penetrate all of our fears, all of our insecurities. Let it penetrate the lies of the enemy that constantly screams at us that we are not enough. Lord, we are not enough. But you're more than enough for us. So help us. Help us to be a missional community. I pray that you call many of us to go to the nations. Lord, all the trips that we plan for this year. But also to go to our workplaces, our marketplaces, our families, as we were going and make disciples. Teach us, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.